Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Times Business Podcast, where we're taking a look ahead to one of the big annual events that will certainly be making news headlines in the coming days. I'm Robert Miller. That means finding out what's likely to be topping the agenda at the 48th annual meeting of the World Economic Forum in Davos. It's been billed as creating a shared future in a fractured world. And we'll find out what this has to do with trade and finance. And no, it's not about Elon Musk's latest space adventure. I'm joined by Philip Aldrich, the Times economics editor, and Catherine Griffiths, our banking editor. They're going to be packing their snow gear and heading up the Swiss mountains, along with Richard Fletcher, the business editor, to keep us up to date with what's happening there. Thank you for being here. And Philip, before we start, let's hear a clip from Klaus Schwab. He's the forum founder and still the executive chairman. And he's talking about some of the issues that are going to be under discussion.
A second big issue in Davos will certainly be the future of global cooperation related to trade, environment, fight against terrorism, tax systems, competitiveness. And in this context, it's absolutely essential to have President Trump with us. Another issue certainly discussed in Davos is the future of economic growth. We are possibly at the end of an economic upswing cycle, and the future of economic development, particularly also related to the policies of central banks next year, will be a big discussion issue.
Philip, as we said, let's start with you. Is the end of the global growth economic cycle? Is it happening, do you think? Has he got it right?
I think everybody thinks that the coming year is going to be pretty strong. There's the World Bank is concerned that there's going to be a protracted sort of slowing after this kind of heady period of growth across the world at the end of 2017 into the beginning of this year. But as you could hear there, it's always a very high-minded agenda at Davos. You've got all of the, I think about two-thirds of the delegates or the people who attend are from business. So the rest are from civil society, they're from trade unions, they're from academia. Obviously, then there's lots of government ministers, including President Trump. And this year, we've also got Theresa May, Philip Hammond, and Philip Hammond's shadow, John McDonnell, attending. And so you've got government figures and other policymakers, central bankers, obviously. So everybody is supposed to just huddle down and resolve the world's manifold problems.
Do they? Do you think you've been enough times now to notice whether it makes a difference or not?
It's the kind of thing which is the issues are so big that you can't really notice this, in the difference being made. But you suspect, and to be fair to the World Economic Forum, they do kind of set the agenda a little bit for the year. It is an echo chamber, and it is the kind of elite talking amongst each other. But it does help harmonize some of their thinking. And obviously, there has been quite a liberal agenda. So issues such as the environment and inequality, ironically for a little enclave full of the richest people in the world, is always at the top of the agenda. And right now that's obviously quite in the headlights, given, you know, Trump's elevation because of the lack of inclusive growth in the world, which is again on the agenda this year. So do they have a dramatic impact? They don't. I think it's a slow burn. I think it's unfair to say that they don't achieve anything.
Catherine, a lot of these people, as Philip said, I mean, it is packed with the biggest banking or the biggest banks in the world and their executives. So for them to have access to what is a stellar list of ministers and government leaders, is that important for them? And do they get close enough to be able to talk about it and make progress, make it worthwhile, because they're presumably paying a fortune to go?
Yep, I think they very much see it as worth it. Some of them go year after year and, you know, they certainly wouldn't do if it wasn't worth their while. I think that just simple fact of there being a small group of people from around the world actually there, physically there together for a few days or maybe a shorter amount of time than that, means they can have lots of meetings, lots of off-the-record conversations. It can be, I think it can be pretty effective for them. And a lot of things do happen behind closed doors.
And we never hear about them, or do you? I mean, after but the actual what? You mean the real nitty-gritty? There are deals done, but we just don't hear about them.
Well, I think for journalists, our endless paranoia with Davos is that these things happen behind closed doors and we never hear about them. But I think the reality is, certainly with sort of knotty issues, they welcome the chance to kind of have an informal chat in some way that they don't particularly want, you know, recorded anyway. So that, I think that has happened over the years and will continue to happen.
There was a sense last year that, obviously last year we just had Brexit 6 months earlier and Donald Trump had just been elected president of the United States. And these were the two outcomes that the Davos elite must have feared above all others. And there was a sense at that point that, you know, the world might be tipping into a sort of retreat from globalization. But the mood on the slopes in Davos was remarkably resilient. And there was this sense that the uncertainty had passed in that, you know, nobody knew if these bad things were going to happen. The bad things had happened, and then all the you know, business figures and the government policymakers, that, you know, this was the new situation. You just get on with stuff, and there was this general spirit of right now we'll just get on with what we've got to do. It's a new environment. It's a bit more risky. The whole world is a bit more unknowable, but we just got to plow ahead regardless. And what we really had in 2017 was a massive uplift in the global economy, and that kind of being so sanguine about the risks started in Davos and, you know, really persisted throughout the whole year. So, I mean, I would say that was one example of that kind of groupthink approach, which probably did do the world a disservice last year.
Well, as we sit here, I mean, Catherine in particular, we've just heard from the big US banks, and apart from taking a one-off tax hit, they're sitting there looking at being able to distribute far more to their shareholders. A lot of companies are going to be giving bonuses to their workers. Apple is a repatriator or paying $34 billion in tax, which is going to boost the economy. 12 months ago, we couldn't have imagined that, could we, with markets reaching record highs almost daily?
Yes, that's probably too true. And certainly the American banks are in a very good position these days, in one very major part being the Trump tax repatriation change, which certainly there's quite a lot of people here in London who would like to see some changes to our own corporation tax policies to make the UK more competitive in the light wake, however you want to see it, of Brexit. Certainly Jess Staley, who runs Barclays and is American, maybe not completely as well versed on meetings at Downing Street as some people, and actually dared to say something, which was that the UK could do with having a bit more of a competitive tax regime. So that might be an interesting thing as it comes up at Davos. I mean, certainly the financial services sector has pretty good access to Downing Street, but obviously there'll be another opportunity in Davos to see Theresa May, see some of her people, and they'll be keen to do that.
I mean, overall, Phil, it's the British economy, you mentioned Brexit there, and I suppose we have to mention it again, but is the British economy in better shape than you expected it to be? And are the prospects reasonable, if not uplifting?
It is obviously in a better shape than you'd expect it to be. But part of that is because we've got this enormous tailwind of rapid global growth. Europe is growing strongly. If you look at the relative position of the UK, it's not as promising as you would otherwise have hoped. But I mean, actually, just to go back to Davos, I mean, the big issues there this year will once again be they call it the fourth industrial revolution, and how people are going to be left without jobs because of the robotics and artificial intelligence. Then there are going to be issues about central banks withdrawing stimulus from the economy over the coming year, and is that a good thing? Environment is always on their agenda. In fact, this year the two biggest risks that they identified were environment and cyber security, cyber threats. And in a way, this kind of shows how the general spirit is one of bullishness and optimism, because the reason why they're at the top could be partly down to the fact that people are not that worried about geopolitics as they were last year, about terrorism as they were last year or the year before, or about big financial crises as they used to be. I mean, it may not just be that they're particularly worried about the environment, it's just that they're less worried about the economic backdrop. So I expect this Davos meeting to be full of confidence, full of upbeat sentiment.
And you, Catherine, are you similarly bullish?
Yes, I defer to Phil. He's been many more times than I have. I mean, certainly one observation, my own small experience, is that it used to be dominated by banks and bankers. And now one looks at the programme, and as Phil says, there's lots of things about health and the environment and robotics, a much wider programme, which I should imagine everyone thinks is a good thing.
The digital economy, the rise of the tech companies, they have taken over as the masters of universe at Davos, which on the one hand, it shows that the Googles and Facebooks of this world are the new bankers, but on the other hand, would suggest that they may be about to be as hated as the bankers became.
Oh, well, we'll watch out for that one. Now, we're going to be looking at what else goes on in Davos apart from those learned and lengthy meetings. Earlier, we heard a clip from Elton John's evergreen Rocket Man. Catherine, we mentioned there the celebrity quotient. No Davos would be complete without it. And this year, of course, they're going to be giving their 24th annual Crystal Awards, not least to Sir Elton John, Kate Blanchett and Shah Rukh Khan. Elton John and many other celebrities, I can always think of a Bono and Sir Bob Geldof, but why did they go to Davos? Aren't they supposed to be? I mean, these are capitalists, aren't they?
Well, I suppose particularly Bono and Sir Bob Geldof went in the past because it was this meeting of politicians, policymakers, powerful people from around the world, and they had a social agenda. And I actually remember years and years ago Bono going, I think, for the first time, and it was really quite surprising and really grabbed people's attention and got lots and lots of coverage for his causes. It was a clever idea, whoever sort of suddenly thought, hang on, let's take this sort of exclusive closed off meeting in the Swiss Alps and make it into something else. And now we see that as normal, that you get this kind of trail of celebrities. It seems perhaps not so much this year as we've had in recent years, but I suppose the simple fact is it's been a great move by the World Economic Forum to give itself a little bit of star power, to sort of reinvent itself in the last decade or so, keeps people interested. There's probably a sort of virtuous circle with, while it doesn't want to make itself look ridiculous, clearly, that if you can kind of make it a bit more popular, then actually perhaps that does make politicians more keen to come along as well. It sort of all adds to the momentum.
Yes, sprinkles a bit of glitter all over the Swiss Alps and the staid businessmen and women in their suits for a little bit. So it draws attention to it, doesn't it? But everyone there is actually, just like anyone else, is a star junkie. As Matt Damon, a couple of years ago, he was doing a session on water, which is one of his big charities. And the queue to get into the room with Matt Damon was, you'd imagine that at the Royal Albert Hall for some amazing performance. It's just, it makes no difference that these people are enormously wealthy. They love having celebrities amongst them.
It's a photo op. Yes, well, I must actually also say, because people can go to the World Economic Forum website where Elton John has actually written something about inclusivity and going right back over his sometimes troubled past. It's interesting that out of all the huge global matters we've been talking about, as you say, there is still star power. People are still starstruck. I'm amazed, actually, amongst hardened businessmen.
I think they love it, though, don't they? Just in their course of life in general, they like to mix with celebrities. They like to kind of go to sporting events with celebrities or go to the same parties. It makes them, it validates them.
It's quite, and the thing about Davos, which is quite nice, is that everybody's wandering around the same Congress Centre together. So you've got, actually the biggest retinue I've ever seen was, I think, for Nicolas Sarkozy when he was president of France. But, he'll be accidentally brushing past Goldie Hawn or maybe this year Elton John in the corridors briefly. I mean, it's one of those places where it's a bit of a leveler because you've been selected as a member of the elite. So it's this kind of paradox of being on the hierarchical once you're there, but incredibly hierarchical to get there.
So I can follow my tweets and see President Trump, the real President Trump, saying, I've just bumped into Philip Aldrich from The Times. What a great day. Yes. Do you think that's going to happen? No, I don't think so, is it?
That's Phil's goal. That's what he has to achieve.
Get him to tweet about me. Yeah. I have to tread on his shoe or something, won't I?
You'd be shot.
Yes, I was going to say, Philip, that's a very, very bad idea. Keep an eye out for him, will you, Catherine? Okay, well, that's about it for now. But thank you both very much. And watch out for those daily Davos reports from Philip, Catherine, and, of course, Richard. They'll be updating and tweeting as the events unfold. And by the way, keep a lookout down here in the plains for financial updates. They'll be coming from Diageo, Sky, and Chris Nicholson. There's all that and the other news and analysis on your phones, tablets, and in the paper. And if you'd like to become a subscriber, you can sign up at thetimes.co.uk. You'd then also receive our daily morning and lunchtime business bulletins. If you want to hear us weekly, do subscribe through iTunes. My thanks to Philip Aldrich and Catherine Griffiths. They're on Twitter, so please follow them, and Richard Fletcher. And thanks for listening. Please join us again next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
no,
yes.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.